ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. कण्टिन्यूयिङ्ग् साधन पञ्चकं थर्ड् श्लोक. वाक्यार्थश्च विचार्यतां श्रुति शिरः पक्षः समाश्रियतां दुस्तर्कात् सुविरम्यताम् श्रुतिमतस्तर्को अनुसन्धीयताम् ब्रह्मास्मीति विभाव्यताम् अहरहः गर्वः परित्यज्यताम् देहे अहमतिरुच्यताम् बुधजनैः वादः परित्यज्यताम्. वि आर् डिस्कसिङ्ग् दि थर्ड् श्लोक. वि हव् कम् टु दट् पर्टिक्युलर् पायिण्ट् वेर् देहे अहमतिः उच्यताम्. कमेण्ड्मेण्ट् नम्बर् 23. गिव् अप् दि ऐडिया I am the body. Is it really possible? I am the body, and along with that, I am the mind. This attitude is natural, as we had already lived thus through billions of years, through millions of lifetimes during our evolutionary progress. It is the body that is related to the eight factors that we had discussed in our last class. What are they? Ghrina, Lajja, Bhaya, Shanka, Jugupsa, Kula, Sila, Jati. These are the one classification of eight factors. Any one of these eight factors, and usually we have more than any number of them, probably all of them. The second classification is Mana. Mana means self-respect. Trishna, insatiable hunger for enjoying things. Buddha Deva used to say that Tanha, Trishna, is the only cause of the samsara. Whole life is full of suffering, and the cause is Trishna. In Pali language, it is called Tanha. Then the six well-known negative emotions, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. And this is also called Maya. A person has Jugupsa, abhorrence, doubts, fear, shamefulness, hatred, or he belongs to a upper class, or he is of a great good conduct, or he is a brahmana or upper caste. Any one of them, all of them are manifestations of maya. Then abhimana, trishna, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. All these things comprise of maya. One important point, again and again we have to keep in mind, all good qualities come in a gang, and so also all negative qualities. Now let us see what Sri Ramakrishna had got to say on Maya. There is a lot of teaching of Sri Ramakrishna on Maya. But let us also remember, Sri Ramakrishna brought a revolution. This concept of Maya, as understood by Shankaracharya, is the greatest enemy of human being. Now, I shudder to think, who has created this Maya? God. Who has created this world? God. So how can God try to tempt his own children or make him fall into the net of temptations unless he is the worst of animals in the whole world? This is where Tantra excels. Tantra says what Vedanta calls Parabrahma, Tantra calls Mahamaya, Mahamedha, Mahasmriti, etc. Sri Ramakrishna had brought a wonderful antidote to this terrible idea of Mayavada. It is not Maya, it is Mahamaya. She is the great mother. She takes every single child of hers by hand. If it is non-human being, she makes them go through the evolutionary process until the child grows. It is all growth in knowledge, growth in intelligence. That is what evolution truly means. There is nothing redundant. So when a person, when her child grows into a human being, then slowly from tamas to rajas to sattva, she takes by hand each one of us, leads from the lowest guna. Here also what we need to understand is tamoguna is the best guna for a child, because if he has to grow, he has to eat and he has to sleep. But when the same child grows up, tamoguna is counterproductive. Then she gives us rajoguna. how does she give? She awakens, strengthens all the sense organs, and along with that, she shows all the sense objects in a totally different light. As we do it most of the time, when our stomach is functioning excellently, any food becomes a terrible temptation. Even the most desirable food becomes abhorrent once our stomach goes wrong. This applies to every other sense organ. So through rajas, she tempts people. I also mentioned, I am again saying it, repeating it, because this is the greatest teaching of Sri Ramakrishna. Maya is not an enemy of man. She is the greatest mother, and she is leading all of us, as I mentioned, as Ishvara Krishna of Sankhya Yoga mentions, like a great mother, she is leading her children towards liberation. So when the same person develops love, identity with the larger whole, develops identity with a larger body, which is called Deshabhakti or patriotism, and then identify with the whole world, identify with both living and non-living. And nowadays we see a tremendous awakening of it. That is what is called environmental pollution should not be there. And the people had become what is called veggies. That means not because they have become tired of eating meat, because they started loving creatures and they found an extraordinary response and understanding. And there are innumerable instances of animals giving love and giving consolation, giving peace of mind, and even saving people's lives. Wonderful facts are there. When we see these things in front of our eyes, the other day I saw a small clip on YouTube. So there was a small boy, he was crying, and his dog goes there and just hugs him. I don't remember, dog or cat goes and hugs him, and the child becomes somewhat consoled. So when we see, then people understood, they felt guilty. Every creation is sacred. Animals are sacred. And where animals are treated as objects of enjoyment, and slowly that creeps and overtakes, even every human being is meant for the selfish enjoyment. We can kill them, we can control them, we can mass exterminate them, because the feeling behind, the philosophy behind is exactly the same. Whereas Ishvara Krishna says that everything that happens in our life is the grace of the Mahamaya. Though, mind you, he doesn't use that word Mahamaya. It's only the tantric philosophy that tells us, instead of saying Parabrahma. This is the beauty of tantric teachings. It combines the highest philosophy of Vedanta with the most practical sadhana, day-to-day experience of the devotee. So Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga and Jnana Yoga are beautifully combined in a tantric philosophy. That's why, even though some of you may or may not know, whenever a person takes initiation in the Ramakrishna order, and this is very specific to Ramakrishna order, he gets a mantra. There are three mantras are there: Vedic mantra, tantric Bija mantra, and Pauranika name. Om is the Vedic mantra, Harim, Aim, etc. are the Bija mantra, and Narayana, Rama, Krishna, Ramakrishna. Remember, the name Ramakrishna is a Pauranic name. Why do we say Pauranic name? Because his life has become a Purana, like Vishnu Purana or Bhagavatam. For all the devotees of Sri Ramakrishna, Sri Ramakrishna, the great master by Swami Sharadananda, and the gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, and the following literature of the Ramakrishna order, it has all become the greatest Purana legend. We don't care whether something happened, it is a miracle, it is explainable or inexplainable, but we 100% believe in that. So these are the three mantras, and Sri Ramakrishna often used to say, for Kalikala, tantric practices are the greatest practices. So according to Tantra, that same Ishvara, who is a controller of the Mahamaya or Maya, is now called combined Mahamaya. If you want a basic example, whom did Sri Ramakrishna worship? Mother Kali. Look at the image of Mother Kali. She is the Parabrahma, but she is based upon Mahakala, who is Nirguna Parabrahma. That's why Thakur used to say, Brahman and Shakti are one and the same, the obverse and reverse of the same coin. So this is the idea when Sri Ramakrishna is talking about Maya. From one point of view, he is talking what are the effects of Maya. But on the other side, when he is talking, call upon God as Mother, Mahamaya. Then only man can have salvation. I also quoted the vision of Sri Ramakrishna at Varanasi. Unless Mahamaya in the form of Kali cuts down all the bonds and liberates Jiva, he cannot attain Mukti, even if Shiva utters the mantra also. And this is so beautifully illustrated in the life of Totapuri Maharaj. If you care to study his life, I'll just give you a hint. He used to think, I am Brahman. And absolutely, that was granted by Divine Mother. But he did not accept the idea of Shakti. And therefore, he had to suffer 9 months at Dakshineswar Kali temple. And he thought he owned the body. He owned the mind. He attempted to commit suicide. He failed. Then Divine Mother. Even that attempt and then failure is also the will of the Divine Mother. So, presumably, Totapuri Maharaj's egotism was completely broken because even he had no power to give up the body. Then, supposing Divine Mother did not appear in front of him, and what would have happened? He would have been in the same condition, unable to meditate, suffering so much, unable to give up the body. How long? God alone knows how long. But Divine Mother showed him, oh my son, both what you call Brahman and what you call the Jagat are not separate at all. This is called the true meaning of Mahavakya. Jiva, Brahma, Aikya. But Jiva doesn't mean at the stage of sadhana we have to give up so many things. And the Sadhana Panchakam is the greatest teaching at trying to give up these things. But it is only to reformulate, to look at the same world in a completely different light. What is that light? Brahma Drishti. Not only Jiva is Brahman, Jagat also is Brahman. If any foolish fellow thinks Jagat is Mithya and Brahman is Satya, he doesn't understand anything of Advaita Vedanta, because he is dividing reality or truth into two, Brahman and the world. If world is true, then there are two truths. What does Sri Ramakrishna say? Brahman is true, world is also true, because there are no two truths. Whatever is one truth, but you look at it from two viewpoints, from one point of view, without mind, it is Brahman. Because if anybody says, I am a Jivan Mukta and I can say Brahman, it is completely a wrong idea. Because anything looked at through the mind is absolutely bound, limited, divided by time, space and causation. He may know intellectually, I am looking at Brahman, but through the prism of the mind. But this prism doesn't create anything. It only makes something appear as something else. Keep this in mind. Now, what does Sri Ramakrishna has to say on Maya? Maya, you know, nothing but the egotism of the embodied soul. This egotism has covered everything like a veil. All troubles come to an end when the ego dies. If by the grace of God, a man but once realizes that he is not the doer, he is not the karta, at once he becomes a Jivan Mukta. What a beautiful statement. Once, three statements. By the grace of God. Second statement, he realizes he is not the doer. Third statement, he becomes a Jivan Mukta. Though living in the body, he is liberated. He has nothing else to fear. This Maya is nothing but the ego. It is like a cloud. Sri Ramakrishna, as I mentioned, is a master of similes better than even Kalidasa. Here goes. The sun cannot be seen on account of a thin patch of cloud. Oh, why talk about thin patch of cloud? Your little finger can cover the whole sun. Just put your little one finger in front of your eyeball and the whole sun, the whole universe comes to an end. When that disappears, only then one sees the sun. If by the grace of the Guru, one's ego vanishes, then one sees God. This analogy or simile of the patch of cloud is a most marvelous analogy given even in Advaita Vedanta. What is so marvelous about it? Because cloud is created by the sun. What does it do? It covers the sun. And then sunlight is needed to find out that there is a cloud which is covering the sun. Because at night, there may be clouds. But you will not be able to feel that this cloud is obscuring. Of course, same example we can extend to the moon also. The cloud is there. Only difference is the moon doesn't produce the cloud. But you can see sometimes the moon moving very beautifully among us the clouds. But the point is, without the moon, the cloud cannot be seen. But the cloud itself obscures the moon. What is the point? The sun creates, Brahman creates. Sun creates cloud and Brahman creates Maya. What does Maya do? It covers up Brahman. The cloud covers up the sun. And we need Brahman, that means pure consciousness, to know that I am an Ajnani. Ajnana is covering me up. I hope you enjoy this beautiful explanation of the analogy of the cloud. Ramakrishna gives further examples. Rama, who is God himself, was only 2.5 cubits ahead of Lakshmana. But Lakshmana could not see him because Sita stood between them. Lakshmana may be compared to the Jiva and Sita to Maya. Man cannot see God on account of the barrier of Maya. Ramakrishna doesn't stop there. He has a towel. And then see, what is he doing? Just look. I'm creating a barrier in front of my face with this towel. Now you can't see me, even though I'm so near, just in front of me. Likewise, God is the nearest of all, but we cannot see him on account of this covering of Maya. But what does Maya do? It creates upadhis. Upadhi means limiting adjuncts, like the body and like the mind. Here we are talking about body. And the body has got 5 sense organs. And the body has got all these astapashas, 8 fetters. And then this mana, etc., kama, krodha, lobha, etc. Not only that, this body, sometimes itself, a part of the body becomes upadhi. I know that there was a person, the world's biggest mustache. So what did he do? He insured. And many singers insure their voice. Like that, whichever is the, some players, they insure their hands. Because if they are wonderful, what you call tennis players, etc. If that hand, something happens, then their whole income will go. Not only name will go, but income also will go down. Their whole life depends upon it. So you see, even a mustache can create. Sri Ramakrishna has given several examples. I hope you have not forgotten them. If a man puts on a beautiful coat, then he will, like an Englishman, he'll be whistling a song and jumping like an Englishman. If he gets a pen, he starts scribbling like an Englishman. Of course, Sri Ramakrishna was taking these analogies from the experiences he had. In those days, there were these English white-skinned people were there. Here goes Ramakrishna's teaching. The Jiva is nothing but the embodiment of Sachidananda. But since Maya or ego has created various upadhis, he has forgotten his real self. It may seem, this is not Ramakrishna, this is, I am telling, it may seem from the outside that a jnani also has anger or egotism. But in reality, he has no such thing. We will see very soon what does it mean. So, when does a man attain salvation? This is Sri Ramakrishna's teaching. Only when his egotism dies. Sri Ramakrishna was not only a fun master, he was also a pun master. So here goes a question. When shall I be free? When shall I be free? Answer. When the I vanishes from you. The fellow is asking, when shall I be free? Sri Ramakrishna was answering, when you die. If I die, who is going to realize? What does Sri Ramakrishna mean? He means not physical death, but it is the vanishing of the egotism, ego. And here also we have to make a distinction. Ego and egotism or egoism, these are the two words we use. Anything that comes after ego is called tism or ism. So I am fine because that is the nature of the self. I am a body. I am the mind. The moment you add, as Ramana Maharshi used to make fun, aham is absolutely fine. But kara, Telugu kara, hot chili, ahankara is the problem. The true devotee always says, what does he say? I and mine, this is ignorance. Thou and thine, that is true knowledge. The true devotee always says, O Lord, thou art the doer, karta, thou dost everything. This is the translation of the song, Shokali Tumari Ichha. I am a mere instrument in thy hands. I do whatever thou makest me do. All this is thy glory. The whole universe is thy glory. This home and this family are thine, not mine. I have only the right to serve as thou ordainest. In this context, we can recollect Sri Ramakrishna telling to Mathur Babu, Mathur, this is, you are not having all these estates. You are only a trustee. Remember, mother has made you a trustee. You are not the owner. How far that teaching has gone into Madhur Babu's mind, we do not know. This is a teaching for all of us. That is what he says to M in the very first meeting. Live like a maid servant. Who is a maid servant? She never thinks this is my home. These are my children. This is my family. But she goes on telling, this is my family. I live here. These are all my Hari, my Rama. And she does everything as if it is her. But Ramakrishna was a fun master also. If a servant is dismissed, he can't even take his old broken wooden box. Indirectly, he has to request somebody, please put it outside. But what is this? Maya, nothing but egotism. What is egotism? The feeling that I am the body and mind. The difficulty of conquering egotism. Sri Ramakrishna continues, the vanities of all others may gradually die out, but the vanity of a saint regarding his sainthood is hard. Indeed, it is very difficult to wear it away. I remember a beautiful Telugu cinema. It was, you know, Narada, the greatest devotee of God. He is called Kalaha Priya, Kalaha Bhojana. Once he created a fight, a war between Rama and Hanuman. I narrated this story, but let us enjoy. But I will tell it only in brief. Now, Vishwamitra was one of the gurus of Rama. He was the what is called Astra Guru. And then he took him to Mithila, got him, break the Shiva's bow, and then he got him married to Sita and all those people. And as we know, Rama respected, revered Vishwamitra as God himself. Vasishta was another guru, of which we get more in the Yoga Vasishta rather than in the Ramayana. So this Narada, he saw there was a great king who was the greatest devotee of Sri Rama, and he totally surrendered himself to Sri Rama, and did not know anything excepting Sri Rama. But his guru Vishwamitra, he became egotistic, thinking that I am a great man, Rama is under my control, and Rama is none other than God, and Rama is the greatest king in the world. So I am the guru of this greatest king. And Narada wanted to teach this lesson to the world, that ordinary person can be greater than even this Vishwamitra or Vasishtha or anybody. So one day he went to this king. I think it was King Ambarisha. And he said, see, look here. You call all the saints and entertain them, and then your devotion to Rama will increase. The king was very happy, immediately arranged. Narada also told him, when the saints come, Vasishta, Vishwamitra, etc., how to seat them. And he made it in such a way, Vasishta was made, given the chairman's chair, and Vishwamitra was kept at the edge in an ordinary chair. The king arranged it, and all the saints came, and then they were seated. Vishwamitra, in a way, was a simpleton. He had no that crooked feelings, even though inside there was the egotism. So this king completed the act, and when he was about to send these saints away, Narada appears, calls Vishwamitra aside, and said, look, how this king had insulted you. You are the guru of Rama, and he kept you at his side, and he honored Vasishta, he gave the honorable seat. And immediately Vishnu, what? It is true, I did not take notice, what shall I do? This king deserves to be killed. So you go and go to Rama, visit Rama. The moment Rama sees you, he tells, what is your commandment? I am ready to obey it. So Vishwamitra went, Rama protested and said, please command me. And Vishwamitra said, go and kill that king. Rama said, but he is one of my greatest devotees. Vishwamitra said, I don't know all those things. He insulted me, and go and kill him. Now Rama was in two minds, because he knew that king was innocent, but here Guru's commandment had to be obeyed. So he prepared, he warned the king, I'm coming, stand there, I'm going to kill you. Now Narada went to that king and said, Rama is coming to cut off your head. That king got frightened. What did I do? No, you did not do anything. That Vishwamitra was an egotistic fellow, and he created all these problems. And then, what should I do? And you go to Hanuman, take refuge in him. And the king runs to Hanuman and says, you have to promise me something. Hanuman says, first tell me. Then he explains. Hanuman said, you know, I am the devotee of Rama. I will never again fight against Rama. Anything else you ask, I'll give you. So the king came back again to Narada and said, this is what happened. What shall I do? Narada said, don't worry. I know all these things. Go to the mother of Hanuman. First extract a promise. And then she will, innocent lady, Anjana Devi, she was doing tapasya there, and she will give you. Then you tell what she should tell to Hanuman. So this king went there, did exactly. Poor this simple lady, she said, Baba, I will give you whatever you want, ask me. Then the king requests, you command your son Hanuman to defend me, because Rama is going to kill me. Anjana Devi remembered. Immediately Hanuman was present, and she attended. You defend this king, mother's commandment. What to do? Hanuman said, all right, come. And then Rama came. Hanuman was standing there with bare foot and bare hands, only repeating, Rama, 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 Rama. Rama warned Hanuman, so you get out of the way. I want to kill that king. This is my guru's commandment. Hanuman said, I promised him to protect him, and you will kill him only over my dead body. And Rama warned him twice. He did not listen. And then he discharged the infallible arrow. The arrow went to Hanuman. What was he doing? Folded hands with tears flowing. Yatra yatra raghunatha kirtanam. Rama, Rama. And that arrow turned into a beautiful garland and returned to Rama and fell at his feet. Rama tried another 2-3 times. Same thing happened. And then Narada and everybody was watching this so-called fight. Vishwamitra was also watching. Then he understood the greatness of Ramana. He came and said, Rama, please forgive me. I never understood this king. I thought he insulted. So by this creation of the war between Rama and Anjaneya, Rama Anjaneya Yuddha, Rama Anjaneya Yuddha, Narada accomplished 2 tasks. There was a lingering egotism in Vishwamitra that was completely destroyed through this act, and the glory of Ramanama had become world famous. So Narada was a Kalahapri. Anyway, I told you this thing. Even a saint, a rishis, ahankara, we get so many Puranic stories. Durvasa, Bhrigu, he went and kicked Narayana himself. I narrated that story. So in the Bhagavad Gita class, What does Sri Ramakrishna has to say? Maya is ahankara or egotism. Remember, egotism or ahankara always related to body. Nothing else but body. Without body, the mind cannot have ahankara. So the true nature of the jiva is eternal existence, knowledge, bliss. It is due to egotism that he is limited by so many upadhis and has forgotten his real nature. Egotism is like a cloud beside. For instance, you see in the picture that Sri Ramchandra is only 2 or 3 steps ahead of Lakshmana, but Sita coming in between the two prevents Lakshmana from having a view of Rama. What is Sri Ramakrishna trying to tell us? Even the slightest bit of egotism is like that cloud, not allowing us to perceive God, Brahman, which is everywhere. Sri Ramakrishna says, as long as there is egotism, neither self-knowledge, nor bhakti, nor mukti is possible. And there is no cessation of birth and death. Means one has to go on in the samsara. Egotism is so injurious to man that as long as it is not eradicated, there is no salvation for him. Then Sri Ramakrishna gives the beautiful parable of a calf. There was a calf and then it was taken to a long distance and then it slowly grows up. What does he say? Hamba, amba means aham, aham, aham. So it was put to the yoke and it was beaten for 40, 50 years. It is used as a laborious animal and then ultimately it dies. Then the entrails, the skin is used to make shoes and people trod upon that. We are all using those shoes, leather shoes we call it. It is nothing but from the skin of these cows, etc. And then at last a corder comes, takes help of the entrails and makes strings. By that time, it understands. Oh Lord, I have committed a mistake. Naham, naham, tuhu, tuhu. Because that cord, it gives toi, 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 that sound it gives. That's Ramakrishna had converted into tuhu, tuhu, nino, nino. Beautiful parable. Please, every parable of Sri Ramakrishna is an object of dhyana, contemplation. The misfortune that befalls a man on account of his egotism can be realized if you only think of the condition of the calf. Hamma, hamma. This is I, I. The body of man is meant only for the upakara, service of others, atmano mokshartham jagathitaisha. The body is given to us only for one purpose. What is it? For atmano mokshartham, for obtaining one's own liberation and for the service of the world, not because the world is in requirement of your service, but for your own punya or chitta shuddhi. Paropakarartham idam shariram. Our body is meant as an efficient tool to serve others. Our job is to purify the mind, intellect, equipment and transcend them so that we directly come to experience the supreme state of pure consciousness, that is Brahman. Therefore, give up the empty, false, erroneous expression of idea, I am the body. But at the same time, should we hate the body? Should we try to kill it? Absolutely no. The scriptures tell us this very body is a temple of God. There is a beautiful saying, Shariram Khalu Adhyam Dharma Sadhanam. The body is the only way. Do you want dharma? Do you want artha? Do you want kama? Do you want moksha? This is the only instrument. If this instrument goes, you will be a ghost. This is what Sri Ramakrishna declares. This temple of the body should not be kept in darkness. The lamp of knowledge must be lighted in it. Light the lamp of knowledge in your room and look at the face of the Mother Divine. The human body is like a pot and the mind, the intellect and the senses are like the water, rice and potatoes. So, renounce the delusory conception, I am the body, and use it for God realization. Sri Ramakrishna adds, everyone can attain knowledge. So, what about the realized souls? Do they have ego? Yes, Ramakrishna says, from a distance, a burnt string lying on the ground may look like a real one. But if you come near and blow at it, it disappears altogether. The anger and egotism of a jnani are mere appearances. They are not real. There was a telling incident when the direct disciples of Sri Ramakrishna were living a very hard life at the Varanagar Mutt. Swami Ramakrishnanandaji was absolutely adamant. It was he, like a divine mother, who kept the photo of Sri Ramakrishna and went on worshipping it with such unflinching devotion. Everybody went away excepting him. Now, one day, Swamiji got into a mood. He was very moody person and highly emotional. If you did not know, learn it from me. Swami Vivekananda, the most emotional person on earth and very moody person. And when his mood changes, only God knows. One moment, he'll be very happy. Another moment, he can do whatever he wants. The incident was like that. One day, he got very angry with Ramakrishnanandaji and he said, "Your Thakur, you are feeding him with luchis when we have nothing. Today I will throw your Thakur and everything out." And with a terrible appearance of anger, he was entering into the shrine room at Varanagar Mutt. Swami Niranjananandaji was much taller and much stronger than Swami Narendranath. He stood there. Swamiji tried to push him aside and Niranjananandaji pushed him so that he fell down on the floor. And next moment, he went on laughing and laughing and laughing. And then he, all of them sat together to prepare for the worship of Sri Ramakrishna. This is the inner nature of Swami Vivekananda. Anyway, this is what Sri Ramakrishna says. The egotism of a jnani are mere appearances. They are not real at all. We come now to the commandment 24. Buddha janai vadaha parityajyatam. Give up altogether the tendency to argue with wise men. Naturally, the question comes, who is a wise man? The truly wise man is he. This is what Sri Ramakrishna's teachings. The truly wise man is he who has seen the Lord. He becomes like a child. The child, no doubt, seems to have an individuality, a separateness, separate individuality of his own. But that individuality is a mere appearance, not a reality. The self of the child is nothing like the self of the grown-up man. The wise man, Ramakrishna continues, always says, "It is thou, O Lord, it is thou." So, Sri Ramakrishna is telling, describing the nature of a realized soul. He is called in Vedantic language Jivan Mukta. And in Vivek Chodamani, we get 5 different behaviors of a Jivan Mukta. What are they? He is like a child, like an inert being, Jada. He is like a Pishacha, and he is like a Ghoul. These are the 4. A child and an inert being, Jabbalavat, Jadavat, Pishachavat, Unmadavat. But there are other. Sometimes Shankara says that he is among pundits, he becomes the greatest pundit. Among heroes, he becomes the greatest hero. He assumes any form he likes. When he is amidst children, he will be absolutely like a child. And I recollect a beautiful incident M describes so graphically. I think it was third or whatever visit of M. He came to Dakshineswar. He went to Sri Ramakrishna's room. He did not find him there. And then before that, on his last visit, he saw Sri Ramakrishna entering into a very special state where M could not understand, as though he was dead, completely unconscious of the external world. A devotee explained to him, this is called Samadhi. Then M understood that Sri Ramakrishna was such a high soul. He could enter into a state of samadhi any time that he wants. Now, with this background, M came next visit and he did not find. He went to Panchavati. He was astonished. What was he seeing? Sri Ramakrishna, along with his disciples, was playing a particular game. What was that game? One man is kept like a bent on four, two legs and two hands. And somebody has to put his hands on his back and then jump over. Sri Ramakrishna was playing that game. And M was thinking, is this the person whom I saw yesterday, completely oblivious of the external world, deeply merged in samadhi? And here he is playing like a small child. So among the children, he will be like a child. Among the pundits, he will be the greatest pundit. Has such event ever happened? It happened to Jesus Christ when he was a child. He was seen removing the doubts of many learned rabbis. And they were shocked. They said, is this not the son of our carpenter, Joseph? How come this man is having such wisdom, such knowledge? Where from did he get it? So this incident was narrated. And Sri Ramakrishna was 5 or 6 years old. There was a pundits meeting there. And they were discussing some naughty problem. And Sri Ramakrishna were making and observe the facial expressions of all the people. And behind them, going on poking them. This fellow looks like a monkey. That fellow is bellowing like a donkey. And like that. Of course, the elders were not aware of these children's language. Only they understand their language. Sri Ramakrishna was listening intently. And there was a naughty problem. And no pandit could offer a solution. Sri Ramakrishna nudged a elderly brahmana and said, could this be the solution to this problem? That man was astounded. And he called the attention of other people and said, Gadai says like, and everybody was astounded. They said, there is no other solution excepting this. So, Sri Ramakrishna was a natural pandita. Of course, you know, he is God. So, he can afford to play tricks like that upon all of us. Though, he pretended to be, Ami kichu janina, I don't know anything. Only my mother knows. This fellow, from he is playing all these tricks upon all of us. Cat, and he says it is cat and rat play. It is a play for the cat, but not for the rat or mouse. Okay. Sri Ramakrishna is telling that there must be two types of ego sarathi. Our task is to transcend the lower type of egotism and make it into higher type of egotism. There are two types of egos, one ripe and the other unripe. Nothing is mine. Whatever I see or feel or hear. Nay, even this body itself is not mine. I am always eternal, free and all-knowing. Such ideas arise from the ripe ego. That is my house. This is my child. This is my wife. This is my body. Thoughts of this kind belong. Oh, the ego that asserts, I am the servant of God, is characteristic of the true devotee. It is the ego of Vidya and is called the ripe ego. So, step 24, what is it? Buddha janaihi vadaha parityajatam. Give up totally the tendency to argue with wise man. Who is a wise man? We have discussed. Who developed only, who has seen God, who becomes like a child and whose ego is a ripe ego, what is called pakva ahankara, not kacha ahankara, is endowed with vidya maya, not avidya maya. Then this was the condition when M came to Sri Ramakrishna and he wanted to argue because he was also a schoolmaster and he was a pandita, he was a learned person and he learned that one has to argue. But he did not understand when he comes into the presence of Buddha Jana. Buddha means he whose buddhi has become one with God. Dhiyo yonaha prachodaya. He is called Buddha. We are fortunately or unfortunately, we are buddhus. We also have buddhi, but that is not a ripe buddhi. When this buddhus buddhi becomes purified and understands the truth, he becomes Buddha, enlightened one. So, advice to M. The master was still in an ecstatic mood. Suddenly he said to M, look here, you have had enough of reasoning, no more of it. Then he says, promise that you won't reason anymore. M with folded hands, yes sir, I won't. We approach these wise people who have direct experience of spirituality and men of scriptural knowledge for our own benefit. We are not obliging them. They are not gaining anything by teaching us the glory and nature of the self, because they have already attained to that state. They have nothing to gain from us. That's why there is something very interesting also. This also comes from Sri Ramakrishna. I don't know where he has read it. This is the incident, the life of Shukadeva. Shukadeva was born Brahmagnani. That's why he did not come out of his mother's womb for 16 years. And Vyasadeva prayed to Mahamaya. And she said, I can only cover him for a moment. One kshana. Okay. She covered him. That moment he came out and he started walking. This is one story. Another story is, Vyasadeva knew his son Shukadeva was a born Brahmagnani. Shukadeva approached him and said, Father, teach me Brahman. And father said, you already know Brahman. There is no need for me to teach you. But Shukadeva thought, my father, out of his affection, because I am his son, is telling me that I am already perfect. So Vyasa told him, okay, you go to Janaka Maharaja, he will teach you. And then Janaka Maharaja received him. And then before teaching, this is the story, give me my face, Guru Dakshina. Shukadeva asked, you have not even started teaching. Whether you are going to teach me or not, we don't know. Why are you demanding Guru Dakshina even before? And then Janaka Maharaja says, when I finish teaching you, you will know that you are Brahman. You won't see any difference between Guru and disciple. Both are Brahman. Then who is Guru and who is disciple? Who is going to give Dakshina? It's a little bit of fun. We don't need to worry about it. But this is a fact. It is not the wise people, the realized souls, who benefit when they patiently explain and encourage us to reach the self. It is entirely our gain. I want to close this talk from something very wonderful from the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Whenever Sri Ramakrishna used to visit his household or disciples, he used to, some of them, especially Brahmos, never knew that when a holy man visits, they have to offer him something. So some sweetmeats or some fruits or something to eat and at least a glass of water, that is the householder's duty. But many of them, they never knew, including M. Sri Ramakrishna teaches them. So whenever you come, bring a paisa worth of something to eat. Then only M had learned. Such was our condition before the advent of Sri Ramakrishna in the 19th century. So he used to insist, please give me some water. He was not thirsty. He did not ask the water because of his need for water. He wanted to teach them that something has to be offered to a holy man. And they did not even know how to salute. So Sri Ramakrishna, who taught them how to respect sadhus by bowing down. Otherwise, what Swami Advaitananda used to call, they used to greet the other person in axe-raising salutation. Some devotee asked Latu Maharaj, what is axe-raising? Oh, like that. A man lifts up the axe in the act of breaking the wood. So like that. That is not what she should do. She should bow down. Bowing down means reduce your ahankara. That is the symbolism of it. So, buddha janaihi vadaha parityajyatam. Completely. Give it up. But you can ask questions. That is what Bhagavad Gita says. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninaha tattvadarshinaha. We will, from next class onwards, take up the fourth shloka. Kshud yadhischa chikitsyatam pratidinam bhikshau sridam bhujyatam swadvannam natu yachyatam vidhivashat praptena santushyatam sitoshnadi vishahyatam natu vridhavakyam samuchyaryatam audasinyam abhipsyatam janakripa naisturyam utsrujyatam. Beautiful commandments that every spiritual aspirant must remember and try to practice. ॐ जननीं शरदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। मे रामकृष्ण होली मदर एंड स्वामी विवेकानंद ब्लेस अस ऑल विद भक्ति।